My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in this fast-paced materialistic society that we find ourselves in, we find that we are swept away by the current of trying to just live. We find that the majority of our time, in fact all of our time, is spent for matters related to this dunya. We wake up, we go to work, we come home, we play with the kids, we go to sleep, we wake up again. The weekends are for shopping and social lives. And we become so busy in this dunya, we become so caught up in the current of living, that in reality, we forget about the very purpose of life. We forget about why Allah Azza wa Jal created us, why He put us here on the face of this earth. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? And we fall into the trap, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and He warns us into falling into this trap. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. And so because of this, Allah Azza wa Jal caused them to forget about themselves. Profound verse here, ponder over it. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. What happens when you forget about Allah? You forget about yourself. Allah causes you to forget about yourself. Because you have no purpose to life anymore. When you forget about Allah, when you ignore Allah Azza wa Jal, your very life becomes meaningless. Therefore you forget about yourself. And you become like animals whose only purpose is to eat and drink and be merry. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. Therefore Allah is warning us not to fall into this trap. What is the solution? Right after this verse, which is in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah Azza wa Jal then mentions over 20 names and attributes that belong to Him. Why? To remind you about who Allah Azza wa Jal is. Don't forget about Allah, i.e. remember who Allah is. Know who your Creator is. And the primary way to know who our Creator is to study His names and attributes. We have not seen Allah Azza wa Jal. No human being has seen Allah. This is only that something that will happen in the hereafter. None of us has spoken to Allah. This is something that is granted to some of the prophets, and not even to all of them. Therefore, what is our source of information about our Creator? How do we know who He is? The primary, in fact the only way, is through a study of who He is by His names and attributes. And that is why, my dear brothers and sisters, the Quran is full of Allah's names and attributes. Every second verse ends with a name or attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because one of the primary purposes of creation is to know our Creator and therefore worship Him. So in today's short khutbah, I wish to remind myself and my listeners about some of Allah's names and attributes. This is because the discussion of all of the names and attributes is something which can take many lifetimes. In fact, it can never be done justly. But only to remind ourselves of some of the more common names and attributes that are found in the Quran, and therefore to avoid falling into the trap of forgetting who Allah Azza wa Jal is. The most primary name of Allah is Allah itself. It is the first name mentioned in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It is also the last name mentioned in the Quran, Malikin Nasi Ilahin Nas. It is the name that has been given to all of the prophets, and to this day we have references in the Old and New Testament to a God known as Elohim or Eloh, which is Allah and Allahum. It has been given to all of the prophets before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the most common name that Allah uses in the entire Quran. Thousands and thousands of times. What is so special about this name? What is so special about this name that Allah uses it the most? The meaning of Allah is Al-Ilah, which is the only object that is worthy of our worship and veneration. Therefore, this name necessitates all of the other names and attributes of Allah. The only object that is worthy of our worship must, by necessity, be Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Aziz, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafur, Al-Tawwab, and so on and so forth. The one who is worthy of worship must be Al-Alim, Al-Sami', Al-Khabir, Al-Basir. He must know everything, he must see everything, he must hear everything, he must be the most merciful, or else he would not be worthy of worship. So because he is worthy of worship, he must be characterized by all of the perfect names and all of the majestic attributes found in the Quran. Therefore, it can be stated that each and every name and attribute of Allah is but an explanation of Allah, an explanation of the one who is worthy of worship. Because he is worthy of worship, he is characterized by all of the other names and attributes in the Quran. And that is why Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. To Allah, to this name, Allah belongs all the other names. All the other names are an explanation of Allah. Therefore, this name is the greatest and the grandest name of Allah. And many of the scholars say that this is Ismullah al-A'zam, or the grandest name. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is one name of Allah. If you use it in your dua, Allah will respond to you. What is this name? The scholars have differed. But it seems that the strongest candidate is this very name, Allah itself. Because it is the most comprehensive name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of Allah Azza wa Jal's names is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And both of these names have to come from the same root of Rahimah, to show mercy, to show compassion. By deriving two names from the same root, Allah Azza wa Jal is emphasizing His divine characteristic of mercy. Not just one name, but two names have come from the same root to show compassion and mercy. And we do not need to even mention Allah's mercies and blessings upon us. It is because of His mercy that He created us and we did not ask to be created. It is because of His mercy that He granted us our health, our life, our wealth, our status, our privileges, our intellect, everything that we have around us. It is but a manifestation of Allah's mercy. It is because of Allah's mercy that He gave us the greatest blessing, and that is the guidance to Islam. He has guided us to Islam, and this is the greatest mercy and blessings upon us. It is because of Allah's mercy and blessing that He has created everything around us for us. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. He has created everything for your control, for you to take advantage of and benefit. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What is the difference between Rahman and Rahim? Ar-Rahman describes the characteristic of Rahmah as being ever present in Allah. So Allah is always Ar-Rahman in whatever He does. No action of His is done except because of a mercy. There is nothing that Allah Azza wa Jal does except that He does it out of His mercy, because He is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, on the other hand, is a special type of mercy, which is shown to the select few. Ar-Rahman is shown to everyone. Because Allah is Ar-Rahman, even the kuffar, even the disbelievers, they get to enjoy life. They can breathe, they eat, they drink, they sleep, they enjoy this world. Because Allah is Ar-Rahman. But Ar-Rahim is only shown to the believers. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is Rahim, the extra Rahmah, only to the believers. So because of this extra Rahmah, the believers will be saved from Allah's punishment, even though the kuffar, having enjoyed Allah's mercy in this life, they will not enjoy Allah's mercy in the hereafter. So Ar-Rahim is more special and more powerful, and Ar-Rahman is more comprehensive and more permanent. Allah is always Ar-Rahman. He is only Ar-Rahim to the select. Each one has its beauty. Each one has its connotation. Of Allah Azza wa Jal's names is Al-Malik. Al-Malik means the king. So Allah Azza wa Jal is a king, but not just like any king. What king is there who can claim that nothing happens in his kingdom except by his knowledge and permission? There is not a single king, there is not a single ruler, there is not a single prime minister or president except that he is disobeyed in his very house that he lives. Can anyone claim this for Allah? Nothing happens, not a leaf falls except with his knowledge. No one eats or drinks except with his permission. Nothing occurs in Allah's kingdom, in the creation, except if He knows it and wills it. What other king can claim this? So powerful is this king, Al-Malik, that Allah Azza wa Jal describes Himself as Malikul Mulk, the king of kings and the owner of kings. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. You give kingdoms to whom you please and you take it away from those whom you please. What king can grant kingdoms and take away kingdoms? Every king is concerned about his own kingdom and he is striving to keep it in control. Only Allah Azza wa Jal can claim to be Malikul Mulk, the king of kings and the owner of kings. He grants kingdoms and he takes away kingdoms. And that is why Allah describes Himself in the Quran as Maliki Yawmiddin, the king and the owner of the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment is the single day in which all of mankind will be resurrected and gathered, from Adam until the final people of this earth. The kings and the paupers, the princes and the priests, all of them will be gathered on that day for the first and only time. So the king of that day is by necessity, de facto, the king of all other days. The king who can claim kingship on the Day of Judgment must be the king of all other days that are lesser than the Day of Judgment. And that is why Allah describes Himself as Maliki Yawm al-Din. If He is the king and the owner of the Day of Judgment, then of course He must be the king and owner of all days before it and after. Malikul Mulk, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Al-Malik. This is our Allah. Of Allah's names is Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus means the blessed, the holy. There is no one that is as blessed and as holy as He. Because He is Al-Quddus, He has no partners, He has no sons, He has no spouses, He has no children. Because He is Quddus, there is nothing similar to Him. And all good comes from Him. He is Al-Quddus. Of His names is As-Salam. As-Salam has many meanings to it. Of the meanings of As-Salam is the one who is free of imperfection. He has no defects, no faults. And that is why when we greet our brothers, we say As-Salamu Alaikum. May no fault, may no evil come to you. And we say As-Salam, meaning may Allah be with you. As-Salam, because Allah is one of Allah's names is As-Salam. And Jannah is Darus Salam, because no harm can come to you there. No evil can befall you there. It is called the place of Salam. So Allah Azza wa Jal is As-Salam. Because no evil is characterized by Him. There is nothing that is evil that He is characterized by. He is free of any defect. He is above any injustice. No evil does He. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-khayru kulluhu biyadayk wa sharru laysa ilayk. All good comes from you, and no evil can be attributed to you. No evil can be attributed to Allah because He is As-Salam. Another connotation of As-Salam is the grantor of peace. We know that Salam means peace. So As-Salam is the one who gives peace. Therefore, those who believe in As-Salam and worship As-Salam will be given the peace by As-Salam. Salamun qawla min Rabbir Rahim. When the people enter Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal will say, Salam, peace. And when Allah greets you with peace, nothing can harm you after that. So the greeting of the people who believe in As-Salam is As-Salamu Alaikum. And the greeting that will be given to those who believe in As-Salam by As-Salam Himself is Salam, qawla min Rabbir Rahim. And this will be given when they enter Jannah, after having worshipped As-Salam. Of Allah Azza wa Jal's names is Al-Mu'min. Now we all know what Al-Mu'min means. Al-Mu'min means the one who believes. How can Allah be Al-Mu'min? Allah is Al-Mu'min because He has believed in Himself. And He has believed in His prophets that they are sent with the truth. Therefore, when we as Mu'mins, inshaAllah, know that Allah Azza wa Jal believes what we believe, then we don't care who amongst mankind disbelieves after that. We have Al-Mu'min to ratify, to confirm our iman is true. We have no need for anyone else on the face of this earth. Even if we are alone, we know that Al-Mu'min is believing in what we believe. Therefore we feel secure, we feel peace, we feel comfort. As Allah says in the Quran, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Allah Himself has testified that there is no object worthy of Himself of worship except He. When Allah Himself has testified, لا إله إلا الله, then we have no need of anyone else to testify. We know this to be true, and we know our religion to be true. Another connotation of Al-Mu'min is the one who grants Amn. Amn means comfort and security. So Al-Mu'min is the grantor of security. Therefore, those who believe in Al-Mu'min will be granted his security. In this life they will be protected, and in the hereafter they will be saved from Allah's punishment. Because they believe in Al-Mu'min. As Allah says in the Quran, whoever really has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make an escape route. Allah will make an exit for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. If you believe in Al-Mu'min, He will grant you amn and aman. He will grant you peace and security. He will save you from the trials and tribulations you are in. Of Allah Azza wa Jal's names is Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz has many connotations to it. Of them is Izzah, honor, power, and glory. And all glory belongs to Allah and only to Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ. To Allah belongs Izzah. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. Do they wish for honor and glory amongst other people? Let them know that honor and majesty and glory belongs only to Allah. Of the connotations of Al-Aziz is power. Al-Aziz means the one who is all-powerful. Al-Qahhar, Al-Qawi. The one who no one can harm. The one who those whom he protects, no one can harm those whom he protects because he is Al-Aziz. So powerful is Allah that Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. You give power to whom you wish and you humiliate those whom you wish. You honor those whom you wish. What person of honor can claim this? There are many who have some honor amongst us. But who amongst us is so powerful and so honorable that we can make other people honorable? No one except for Al-Aziz. تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. You give honor and glory to whom you wish and you take it away and you humiliate from those whom you wish. He is Al-Aziz. Many times in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions Al-Aziz along with another name, Al-Hakim. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Many times, over 70 times. And this is yet another beauty. Allah's names are all beautiful. When Allah combines two names, there is a divine wisdom. There is a hidden message by combining these two names together that produces yet a third meaning. The first meaning is the first name, the second meaning is the second name, and the third meaning is the combined meaning that results of both of these names put together. So why does Allah always refer, or many times refers to himself as Al-Aziz Al-Hakim? Al-Aziz, we discuss what it means. Al-Hakim means the one who is full of wisdom. Why does Allah pair honor with wisdom, power with wisdom? Because the majority of mankind who have been blessed with power, they don't act wisely. They act selfishly. They let their power get the better of them. And therefore they abuse the privilege that they have of being, of having some izzah, of having some honor. Not so for Allah Azza wa Jal. Even though Allah Azza wa Jal is almighty and all powerful, He does nothing except with wisdom. He does not do injustice, even though if He were to do so, there is no one that can call Him to task for that. So He is Al-Aziz, the All-Powerful, and He is also Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. Whatever He does, no matter how powerful He is, He does it with a wisdom, with a reason, with a divine wisdom. And this is a third meaning that comes by combining between Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. Of Allah Azza wa Jal's names is Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir is a name which causes many confusion, much confusion amongst the people. Because those who know Arabic know that the meaning of Mutakabbir, it is an insult in general. You call someone Mutakabbir when he is being arrogant and stubborn and haughty. Mutakabbir means full of arrogance when we refer to ourselves. So when someone refuses to submit to the truth, you say you are being Mutakabbir, you have takabbur in you. How can this name be used as a praise for Allah? The actual meaning of Al-Mutakabbir is he who does not submit to others. He who does not submit to others. Therefore, when a created object refuses to submit to others, he is being arrogant. What right does a created object have to refuse to submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla? When his very food and water, when his very breath that he breathes comes from Allah, how can he refuse to submit to Him? However, in Allah Azza wa Jalla's case, this very name of insult becomes the height of praise. Who is there that can demand allegiance from Allah? Who is there that can demand humility and submission from Allah? There is no object that is greater than Allah. Therefore, He is Al-Mutakabbir because there is no one who He needs to submit Himself. No one as greater, as powerful, as majestic as He is. So in our case, Al-Mutakabbir is an insult. It is a dispraise. We don't use it except when we're angry. You are being Mutakabbir. But in Allah's case, this becomes the height of all praise. There is no one whom Allah Azza wa Jal can submit Himself to. After all, is He not the Khalaq, the Razzaq? Is He not the creator of all, the giver of everything? So when nothing is worthy of Allah's submission, He is Al-Mutakabbir because He is above everything. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Allah is far exalted above all that they associate with Him. My dear brothers and sisters, these are only some of the infinite names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. So what should we do with these names? What is the purpose of these names? Worship Him. Worship Him through these names. فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Let us ponder over these names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And let us increase in our iman, in our taqwa, in our khushu', in our humility and servitude to Him. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal is a fundamental building block of our iman. How can we worship Allah when we don't know who He is? How can we expect to be humble to Him when we don't even know what He is characterized by? Therefore, a study of Allah's names and attributes is an indication of love for the Divine. He who loves Allah will want to learn more about Him. Subhanallah, when one of us is separated from his family and friends, from his children, from his wife, we call up the first thing we ask, what did you do? What happened? Tell me. Even though it is not of great concern, but because you love someone, you want to know everything about that person. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى To Allah belongs the best example. How can it be that we claim to love Allah and not care who He is? Verily, to love Allah's names and attributes is a sign of iman. And to disregard Allah's names and attributes is a sign of weakness of iman. The greatest way to increase our iman, in fact, is to study Allah's names and attributes. There is nothing that will increase our iman more than a study of who our Creator is. Therefore, let each person examine himself or herself. What is his relationship to this important topic, this important science of Allah's names and attributes? And realize that the more you love Allah's names and attributes, the more you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a sahabi in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who would be the imam for the prayer in a faraway masjid. And every single rak'ah he would start off with Surah Fatiha and then Qul huwallahu ahad. Every single rak'ah, Qul huwallahu ahad. And then he would recite another surah. His companions got angry at him and said, what are you doing? Why are you always reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas? He said, if you want me to be your imam, this is what I'm going to do. Otherwise, choose another imam. So they went and complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this man is always reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas every time he starts the prayer after Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ said, ask him why he does so. When they asked him, he said, because this surah describes my Lord and I love to hear His descriptions. I love to hear His descriptions. The Prophet ﷺ said, inform him that his love for this surah, three lines only, his love for this surah has caused him to enter Jannah. Surah Al-Ikhlas. My dear brothers and sisters, when we ponder over the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, I wish that me and all of us listening, we ponder over three things as well. This is the primary purpose of my khutbah today, to instill these three points in you. Because I cannot do justice to Allah's names and attributes, even if we were to give thousands of khutbahs. These three points are firstly, as we study who Allah Azza wa Jal is, let us feel the grandeur and the majesty of who our Creator is. Let us feel He is Allah, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Qahhar, Al-Qawi. And this should increase, to the second point, this should increase our humility. This should increase our humbleness. Who are we in comparison to Allah Azza wa Jal? What are we? What arrogance do we have to deny Him or to deny His worship? So this should increase our love for Allah and it should increase our own humility, our own khushu', our own humbleness. And this should lead us to the third point, that we should feel guilty. We should feel guilty that what have I done? What have I done with my life, with worshipping Allah, with the Creator that created me? I can never thank Him the way that He deserves to be thanked. But have I worshipped Him even as much as I can? My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his night prayers, in his tahajjud, and he was the greatest worshipper of Allah, do you know what he would say? Subhanaka la uhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Exalted are you, O Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all alone in the middle of the night. No one is there worshipping Allah except him at that time. And he speaks to Allah and he says, Subhanaka, exalted are you. La uhsi thana'an alayka. I cannot praise you the way you deserve to be praised. أَنْتَ كَمَا أَثْنَيْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ You are as you have praised yourself. Only you can praise yourself the way you deserve to be praised. If this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam admitting, Oh Allah, I cannot worship you, I cannot praise you, I cannot exalt you the way that you deserve, where do we stand? My dear brothers and sisters, do you know what the angels will say when they hear the trumpet? The angels of Allah who are constantly worshipping Allah from before the time of Adam until the trumpet is blown. Millions, billions of years, we cannot even put a number to it. They are constantly worshipping Allah without tiring, without eating, without drinking, without sleeping. They are saying subhanallah, they are in sajda constantly. When the trumpet is blown, do you know what they will say? Subhanaka ma'abadnaka haqqa ibadat. Exalted are you, O Allah. We have not worshipped you the way you deserve to be worshipped. If this is the case of the sinless, pious angels, where do we stand? My dear brothers and sisters, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah. And so in the process, Allah caused them to forget about themselves. Don't be like those. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. They are the losers and the wrongdoers. Let us take this time to ponder over ourselves. Because when we discover Allah, we discover ourselves. That is the meaning of this verse. Let us take this time to ponder over our own lives. What are we doing with it? What is the purpose? Why am I here? And have I worshipped Allah? Not the way He deserves to be worshipped. We can never do that. But have I worshipped Allah the way that I can worship Him? Or have I fallen short in these obligations? My dear brothers and sisters, Islam is an easy religion. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not placed any difficulty upon you. All He wants is that you pray your five prayers, you fast the month of Ramadan, you give your zakah, you go for hajj once in your lives, and you avoid the major sins. That is all that is required of you. But the problem is we haven't even lived up to this trivial ideal, the bare minimum ideal. We have forgotten about Allah. And so in the process, we have forgotten about ourselves. اللهم إني داع فأمنه اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم عباد الله إن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد